have your Bibles, turn to Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. Song of Solomon, chapter 8. This morning, I'd like to speak to our graduates, as well as our church family, about leaning on the everlasting arms. Because sometimes when life comes at us, it can hit us pretty hard. Amen? And we all need to or want to lean on something just to try to get our wits about us or take a deep breath so we can go on in life. Kind of like the mom who was in the midst of all the worst days of her life. The washing machine broke down and the telephone kept ringing and her head was aching. And to top it off, the mailman brought her a bill that she had no money to pay. And almost to her breaking point, she lifted her one-year-old into his high chair and she just leaned her head against the tray of the high chair and began to cry. And as soon as he did this, without a word, the son took his pacifier out of his mouth and stuck it in his mom's mouth. You know, and that was just a natural reaction of what he knew to do to try to comfort her. Because that's what she does to him, to try to comfort him. So he did the only natural thing of what happens. Okay, Song of Solomon. As many of you blush, and we read the text to our graduates. Actually, it's harmless. Chapter 8, verse 5. Who is this coming up from the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Who is this coming out of the wilderness? I mean, they've been in the wilderness, and they're coming up, and they're coming out, and they're leaning on one side, on their beloved, leaning on their beloved, and we know what the Song of Solomon is about. It's about Jesus, and we're the bride of Christ, and we're leaning on the beloved. We're coming up out of the wilderness, out of the woods that have just been kind of confusion and turmoil in our lives. And that world seems like wilderness today. Would you agree? Both economically, politically, and spiritually. Does it not? I mean, I believe that when it gets dark enough, though, you can see the stars. And the stars are about to come out. And because we are the sons of God, and we are the women of God, and we're the men of God, and we're the daughters of God. And so it's time for us to shine. Because the darker the world gets, the more the stars shine in the darkness. How will we make it through the wilderness we're in? We got to lean on Jesus is what we've got to do. I heard a story some time ago that I want to give you this morning. And basically the premise of this message is what it's about, and I'll be sharing with you. What happened is a pastor asked his members at the end of his message in a small country church. The pastor always concluded his service by calling on one of the members to stand up and pray the benediction prayer. And that's the closing prayer. And it was a normal thing, and many of you may have grown up in a church like that where they just called somebody out. And if you didn't want to pray, then don't sit on the front row, because you're very much a target if you sit on the front row. And I see our graduates left. They didn't want to sit on the front row this morning. So this pastor, he would point this one guy out, and every time he'd point this one guy out, he would pray, "Thank you, God, for today, and bless the people today," and so forth. And he'd go on his prayer, and he would end it with the strangest statement, and he would conclude his prayer by saying, "Oh Lord, oh God, prop us up on our leaning side." And then, of course, it would be followed by an amen. And every time that preacher would call on him to pray, he would pray whatever was relevant to the message that day. And then he would always say, "Oh Lord, prop us up on our leaning side." Finally, the pastor pulled him over one day, pulled him aside and said, "You know, I really love the way you pray, brother. I mean, you have a lot of passion in your prayer. And I can always count on you to close after one of my messages." He said, "But I don't understand your little closing phrase. What are you talking about when you say prop us up on our leaning side?" And the fellow said, he said, "Well, pastor," he says, "I'm a farmer. And I live way out there on the farm. And you know, I live in the country." And he said, "I've got an old barn." And he said, "It's been there a long time, and it's It's been through a lot of weather and a lot of storms. A lot of bugs have began to eat at that old barn and eaten away at it. And he said, I got to looking at it one day while I was riding on my tractor. And I noticed that barn was leaning to one side. And he said to myself, oh my goodness, that barn is leaning. It's just going to be a matter of time before that thing just topples over because it's leaning. So he said, you know what I did? He said, I went and gathered me up a couple of big pine beams and I propped it up on its leaning side. And he said, I got to tell you, that barn still leans, but it's propped up on its leaning side and now it's sturdy. I don't think it's going to fall over. And the farmer continued by saying, you know, I got to thinking about that barn while I was on my tractor, Pastor. And he said, I was riding in the field, and he said, I thought about the kind of a year I've had with all the storms that I've been through and some of life's situations and my health and other various things that I've gone through and some of the people who are bugging me and just kind of eating away at my spirit, trying to steal my joy of in life and things like that. And he said, I just got to thinking, you know, I'm still here. I'm still standing even after all this stuff that I've been through. The storms, he said, the howling winds just couldn't topple me over. And I'm still standing here by the grace of God. But from time to time, he said, I find myself leaning toward my old desires of anger and leaning toward becoming bitter and hateful at people who are just bugging me. Or just leaning towards going back to some of my old habits and my old life that I used to have. And whenever I feel myself just start leaning I toward that tendency, what I do is I just remember that old barn. And I pray out loud on my tractor. I just pray, Lord, I thank you that you're going to prop me up on my leaning side. And as I stated earlier today, leaning on the everlasting arms is the name of my message this morning. And I want to thank the Lord because I know what that means. And I'm as well as many of you do today. And I want to thank him because especially I know what that means, especially in the past month, especially in this past week. Things I've been through, things that you all have been through this year since the beginning. And it really means something to lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. To have the props, to lean on God, on your leaning side. Now, for those of you here that are strong, that steadfast, that you don't really have to worry, you're not leaning on any sides because you're so holified, we can't hardly stand to be in the same room with you. All I have to say to you is that you have one of two things going on in your life. Number one is you haven't lived long enough yet and been through a storm so severe that it'll rock you to your foundation. Or you've already fallen and you're flatter than a pancake and you don't even know it yet. It's usually one of those two things. Because sooner or later you're going to feel the howling forces of spiritual Mother Nature come along, and you're going to have emotional hurricanes in your life, and it's going to be things and people that start to just bug you and try to steal your joy. And you're going to find yourself just leaning toward that old habit, or leaning towards depression, or leaning towards giving up, or leaning towards just quitting, or leaning towards bitterness or unforgiveness or anger and hatred and all those things that the enemy would just love to have you do. But I'm here to tell you that you'll find that you'll need sooner or later to pray that prayer yourself. Lord, please prop me up on my leaning side. And when you do, you'll understand the words of that old hymn, "Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms." Because I believe we're living in the days where people need to be propped up on their leaning side. Amen? Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 8, that when Moses died, Israel mourned for 30 days after Moses had died. But it also says, too, that in Numbers chapter 20, verse 29, that when Aaron died, all of Israel mourned. And in the rabbinical thinking of the rabbis, they teach that that the people of Israel mourned for Aaron when he died than they did for Moses. Because it says that all the people mourned for Aaron because they believed that the people could identify with Aaron, the high priest, more. They could identify with Aaron, basically, because he had a leaning problem. He was the one that was always leaning toward his weaknesses, and he was the one where he built the golden calf. You remember that story? And all the people were eating and dancing and partying around it. He had so many weaknesses. He really wasn't qualified to be the first high priest of Israel. But Moses came along and propped him up on his leaning side. And when he felt unworthy and when he felt like that he had failed God because he had built the golden calf, which was an image in his life, and how he had thoughts cross his mind that God can never use me. I can't go in there and represent the people with the blood. That blood can either bring blessing or cursing upon the people if I'm not found acceptable. My sacrifice, if it's not found acceptable to God, how in the world can God use me? But it was Moses, as you read the books in the Old Testament, who was constantly propping Aaron up on his leaning side. I've seen God give people props. I've seen him bring people into other people's lives to prop them up. And when they were leaning towards quitting, or they were leaning towards giving up, and when they were leaning, and all of us have areas in our lives where we lean, where we start to bend, we all do, to things of weaknesses or stuff like that in our lives that pops up. But when they started leaning, God knows how to bring his people into your life to prop you up on your leaning side. People in your life that will come along and say, you know, you're just not going to do that anymore. Or, you know, God can really use you. God's not through blessing you yet. Marriages are made in heaven, and some of them are made elsewhere, but God puts people together. Amen? You know why he puts people together? He puts opposites together for a reason. To prop each other up on their leaning side. And when you're about to be down and God wants your mate to prop you up on your leaning side. And when you're about to kill one of your kids because they got on your last nerve, then you've got another one there that's supposed to prop you up on your leaning side. Not beat you down, but prop you up. God knows what he's doing in marriage. He puts two together so that if one fails, the other will pick each other up. Two are better than one. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says that, because they could pick each other up. What you don't want is both of y'all down at the same time. You got to prop each other up on your leaning side while leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. That's the whole key to that. Others will come into your lives to help prop you up. But eventually, we've got to learn to lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. And then there's John Mark in the Bible, who wrote the book of Mark. But there was a time in his life when he failed miserably. And the Apostle Paul was so disgusted with him. Great spiritual leader. Everybody looked up to Paul. He was such a spiritualist and he was so powerful. But according to Acts in the later chapter 15, when John Mark messed up, Paul said, send him home. In other words, send him back home to his mama. I have no use for him in my ministry. He's not fit. He's not good enough. He's not really qualified yet. Doesn't have what it really takes to be in the ministry. Paul dismissed him and said, he's never traveling with me again. That's one of the whole books in your Bible that was just dismissed. In and said that you don't have anything to do or say that's worthwhile. But then, you know, Barnabas comes along. A man named Barnabas. And he begins to prop John Mark up on his leaning side. And for the next 2 years, he mentors Mark. And for the next 2 years, Barnabas tells him that God has his hand on you. Don't give up. God's going to bless you. And Jesus has called you for a special purpose. He has something special in your life that he wants to do. I know Paul has rejected you, but Paul's just a man too, and he didn't really mean what he said, and I'll tell you that God is going to use you. And then 2 years later, Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, he says, I'm here on a missionary journey, but by the way, send old John Mark. He's profitable now. I need him. I've heard how good he's doing. Done great things. And that's how we read the Gospel of Mark today. Because God sent somebody along named Barnabas to prop him up on his leaning side. And now Mark's learned to lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. You know, it would have been so easy just to lean over or to fall or to go back to what he used to be before Jesus called him. And I'm so thankful. And you're so thankful as well that Jesus never gives up on us, but his everlasting arms will forever prop us up on our leaning side. Talk about props. What it must have been like for Simon Peter after he denied Jesus 3 times and the rooster crowed, and as he looks into that bleeding, bruised face of Jesus and sees those piercing eyes look back at him, and that face that has been just torn to pieces from them plucking that beard out, and his eyes are looking at Peter, and the people are gathered around, and they ask Peter point blank, do you know that man? And he denied Christ. Denied it to his face. Luke 22, 60 and 61. It's there. He said it to his face. Read it. That's what it says. The Lord turned to Peter. And I can see those eyes in Jesus' face covered with that blood dripping from it. Can you even imagine that when that rooster crowed for the 3rd time, how Peter's heart must have just sunk in despair? And then he starts leaning. He even leans so far that he goes back to his fishing boat. He goes back to the old life that he used to have, something that feels comfortable. God can never use someone like me after what I've done, but good news is Jesus rose from the dead on the 3rd day. And when he rose from the dead and the girls came running along and he said to Mary, that Mary that was there, the 2 Marys, Jesus said, listen, go tell my disciples and tell Peter to meet me in a certain place. Because Jesus knew that it was going to take a big prop to stop Simon Peter from his leaning and falling back and going to the life that he used to have. His cussing and his quick reflex just to reach out and cut someone, and his temper tantrums and his old ways of life. Now, some of you who are listening to me today, maybe you've been leaning toward that way and leaning toward that habit you had because it's been a long time maybe since you've felt God, and it's been a long time since you've felt the Holy Spirit, and maybe you came in here today and the truth of the matter is that you're leaning and nobody knows but you and God. You may be leaning toward a weakness in your life, but the Lord has sent you here today to prop you up. To prop you up on your leaning side. To help you lean on the everlasting side. And he knows your name. And he loves you. And he wants to hold you up. He knows if you're struggling. And he knows if you're leaning. And he can prop you up on those everlasting arms of Jesus. What I'm trying to say today, Jesus said that if I go away, I'm going to send a comforter. The word comforter is paraclete, which means coming alongside. The Holy Spirit is the one who props us up on our leaning side. When we start to lean toward hatred, or we start to lean towards that unforgiveness, and we start to lean toward the weaknesses and the backsliding and doing those things. And there's no shame in admitting it, because we all do it. The truth is, we've all had those times. Because of the storms we've been through in life, and because of the battles perhaps we've been fighting, and it gets tired and it makes us cranky and angry. And when your future is leaning, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if your home is leaning, if your marriage is leaning, if certain uncertainties in your life is going on. Those things just make you lean. When your family perhaps is leaning because something that happened. But there's one that says, I can prop you up on your leaning side and show you what leaning on the everlasting arms is all about. And he won't let your house fall, because he knows how to do it. I mean, that's basically the message I'm trying to get across to our graduates, as well as our church family this morning. That he's a good God. And he's a big God. And he loves his people. And he loves you. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you're fearing. And he'll come along and prop you up on your leaning side, so you'll be leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. I don't know. You may be facing chemo treatments, or you may be facing surgery coming up, but he'll prop you up on your leaning side. There's strength that you didn't know that was coming to your leaning side that you know not of. You may be facing grief or sorrow because you've lost a loved one, but I serve one that can prop you up on your leaning side and hold you up strong today. And you don't have to fall back into the darkness or the hopelessness or the depression that is waiting for you there. But let him prop you up this morning and begin leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. If you're war-torn, if you're weary, or you get weak in the Word, you get weak in the Lord, you start leaning. And he's not going to just let you fall away and says, oh, I never knew. I never really much believed you were going to make anything anyway. Instead, he'll come running to you if you'll ask him. And he'll prop you up on your leaning side by the everlasting arms of Jesus. Moses and the children of Israel were fighting the Amalekites. Exodus chapter 17, verse 8. And they were fighting in the valley. And then Moses, he went up on this mountain so he could kind of get a good overview. Watch it from a vantage point. And the Bible says in Exodus 17:11 that when Moses raised his hands, as long as he kept his hands up, the valley in the battle with Amalek, the Israelites would begin to conquer the Amalekites and begin to push them back. And then his hands started getting weary. And when his hands started coming down, amazingly, the battle began to begin lost. The Amalekites started pressing forward and began to prevail against the Israelites because his hands were coming down. And then when he would try to raise them back up, Israel would start winning against the Amalekites. You know, you just have to keep your hands up if you want to win. No matter what's going on with you, you have to keep worshiping him. No matter what's happening with you, you have to keep worshiping him. No matter what's going on in your life, don't ever let the enemy take your joy, take your worship, or take your praise. Don't ever do him. Don't ever let the circumstances of this temporal world that we live in rule whether or not that your hands are raised in worship and adoration to our King. Because that's how you win the war. Because he'll come along and he'll prop you up on your leaning side. But you can only hold up your hands so long on your own strength. For so long. And then in Exodus chapter 12, or verse 12 of Exodus 17, there's two men that come along, Aaron, the high priest, and Hur. Not Ben-Hur, but Hur, spelled H-U-R. And when Moses raised his hands and saw that his hands started coming down, and those two started to see the battle becoming lost because the Amalekites kept pushing the Israelites further and further, they came along. The Bible says they ran up under him when just like two big pine beams. And when that barn started leaning, the barn was weary, and the barn couldn't keep going on its own strength. They came over, one got on one side, the other one got on the other side, and they propped him up on his leaning sides. And that's why it's so powerful when you come to church and you sit by somebody who will praise the Lord. Because maybe you may be weak, maybe you may not be feeling that all good, but you came to church anyway. But if that person's going to praise the Lord who you're sitting next to, the Lord's going to come up under one side and give the wind beneath your wings as eagle, like we sang this morning, everlasting, to lift you. Why? Because God inhabits the praise of His people. And you're going to get a little of God, even though you didn't feel like coming in with it this morning, if you sit by somebody who wants to genuinely praise the Lord. And when you don't know what you're going to do, just praise the Lord. And when you get weary, just keep praising the Lord. It don't make sense, but you got to do it, because that's what you do when you lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Moses was a good prop for Aaron in the past. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, Moses knew that God was angry enough at Aaron to kill him right there on the spot because of that golden calf incident. But in verse 20 of chapter 9 of Deuteronomy, Moses props Aaron up to prayer in God. And he asked to become a high priest for Aaron. He props him up. So Moses propped Aaron up by intercessory prayer. There's the power of that. Moses propped Aaron up, but now Aaron's coming along and propping Moses up in the battle of the Amalekites. You see how that works? And when his arms started coming down, Aaron and Hur, as long as the barn was standing, there was victory. And that was being won. But if that barn ever came down, the victory would be lost. And I'm saying to you this morning that He'll prop you up on your leaning side so you'll learn how you can lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus and not just always depend on people props, but you can learn to depend on Him. Now here's the best part of this message. Way back in the back of your Bible, the book right before the book of Revelation, Jude chapter 1 verse 24 says, "Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless with great joy." Jesus, the Bible said, is able to keep us from falling. You may be leaning this morning, but you're not going to fall. You may be weak this morning, but you're not going to fall. You may have the howling forces of spiritual Mother Nature coming against things in your life, but I promise you, if you'll call out, Jesus will prop you up. Prop me up on my leaning side and help me to lean on your everlasting arms. Now, maybe you didn't need a good verse like that this morning, but I did. And if you're depending on your own strength to get you through, not to lean and not to fall, and you think you're all good and everything's tidied up in your life and you're believing in the wrong reason. Kind of like the carpenter who was nailing shingles on top of the roof and he lost his footing and he began to fall and he was sliding down the roof and he prayed, "Oh Lord God, please help me, don't let me fall." And he kept sliding and sliding, and again the man prayed, "God, please don't let me fall." And all of a sudden he kept sliding when he got to the edge of the roof. And a nail that was sticking up caught hold of his pants. And he hollers out, he says, "Never mind, God, the nail's got me for now." Don't be deceived by the way God props you up, thinking that it's maybe just luck of the draw or, hey, something out of the ordinary just came along and happened. God chooses His way to prop you up. If you'll come to Jesus, and for some of you, and just fall into His arms because you're so weary and so battle-torn from the things that you've encountered. Some of you just may need to fall in His arms. But He'll keep you from falling. And like the old hymn says, "What a blessedness, oh what peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms." The winds are howling from house to house, from home to home, from family to family, from relationship to relationship. How are we going to make it through? through this wilderness, how will your future be secured? Well, as our opening text stated, Solomon 8:5 says, who is this? Who's coming up? Somebody leaning on their beloved. Now, if I'm leaning, that doesn't mean they're carrying me. If you'll notice that she wasn't in his arms. He wasn't carrying her. She had to do what she could do. And in the same way, God wants us to do what we can do. And after you've done all that you can do, he'll come along and prop you up on your leaning side. And he'll walk you out of that wilderness you're in. He'll walk you out of that dry place you've been to give you that everlasting water, that freshness of the Spirit to rain down. He'll prop you up on your leaning side. Now, I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I just came to let somebody know that he will keep you from falling. He has got you, and he's going to keep you from falling. You haven't come this far just to collapse or to fall or break down or give up. And I'm not only just preaching to the graduates this morning. I'm preaching to somebody who needs to hear that he is able to keep you from falling by leaning on his everlasting arms and to prop you up on your leaning side and to lift both hands just like Moses did in the battle, the Amalekites, with the enemy. And while the enemy shows you a picture of failing and falling and giving up, and that you're not going to make it. But this morning, the word from the Lord to you today from his throne is that he's never going to let you go. He'll never let go if you'll lean on his everlasting arms. What you do? Here comes the Holy Spirit. Here comes the armies of angels from God. Here comes the power of the blood. Here comes the authority of the name of Jesus. Here comes the power of agreement and prayer. And we can prop you up and your house and your family. As you begin to come, we prop you up on your leaning side. I'm so glad that it's not up to me to try harder. But I can lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. And his grace will prop me up as well as prop you up on our leaning side. How many of you here today have a leaning side? Be honest. If you don't admit it, I'll ask your husband or wife or your mom or dad. But you definitely, and I definitely, we all have leaning sides. And the word of God today is this morning that he'll prop us up on our leaning side by leaning on the everlasting arms of Jesus. This morning I'd like to kind of close a little bit differently than I normally do. This morning as PJ and Lizzie come up and lead us in singing, I'd like for you to take a little time to ask the Spirit in your heart, if he hasn't already shown you someone that you need to prop up this morning, to just get out of the chair, go to your church family, help prop them up, stand beside them, sit beside them, whatever it takes, as a sign of faith, to just get out of your seat and prop them up. Stand beside someone. If you feel comfortable to, put your hand on their shoulder or around them. But this morning, as we sing and as the Spirit leads, prop someone up and help them to lean on the everlasting arms of Jesus. Father, I just pray this morning that your Spirit would come down and that it would rain mightily upon us. It would just rain down upon us and lean us up. Lean us, prop us up on our leaning side. Show us those everlasting arms, how strong they are. When things come around us, when troubles bestow us, we can fall in those everlasting arms. We can lift our hands high. We can praise the name of Jesus. We can claim the power of the blood that the enemy will not have come against us. And show us someone that we can help by saying, I'm just there for you. I'll lift you up in prayer. I'll comfort you. I'll encourage you, whatever it takes. Just like Barnabas did, say something nice to someone. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know the shoes they've walked in. Just lift them up. Father, give us the strength. Give us the faith. Give us the power that you bestow on your children. We ask this morning in your name, Jesus. Amen. someone on your heart. Sit by him, stand by him, as we all stand to our feet in closing. Don't just stand there. Find someone to stand by. Find someone to encourage. Find someone just to say, I'm praying for you. Find someone to say, I am glad that you're part of our church family. You don't know what people are going through. People may need to hear that word from you, just as John Mark needed to hear that from Barnabas. Just as Moses needed Aaron and Hur to lift him up. So he's not in this life all alone, that we have someone with us that will stand beside us.
Father in heaven and earth, I call to you like deep calls to deep over water. Show me your endless measure of grace.
Singing, don't stop leaning. People need you. People depend on you. And sometimes we just need that extra assurance of knowing that someone's there for us. Graduates, never forget. Someone's got your side. Whether it be your folks, whether it be your church family, whether it be good friends, but don't forget God's ultimately have it. Your good side to prop you up. Father, we just thank you for the power that you give us to hold us up. We thank you for the people that you send in our lives to uphold us up when we're weak and weary and want to just stumble and fall and just want to give up. We thank you for sending those people props in our life. Father, let those today not forget that they have someone that loves them. Most of all, you for sending your son Jesus to die for us. So that we can have a relationship with you. And if someone here today does not have that relationship, just speak to their heart to say that I want to have this close relationship with you. I want you to be my son, my daughter. Father, we love you so much and we pray. In your holy name, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And all the church said, amen. God bless you all.